coming to church. Thank you for all your kindness and happy birthday wishes and all that kind of thing. Great to be with you in the 11 a.m. service. Give yourself a big round of applause, everybody. Great to have you here today. And I just want to say I appreciate so much you coming to church and enjoying it, even though it's very different. And even though, like, in particularly this service, it's much more intimate, is the word I'm using, intimate, than our 9 a.m. Service. We said it would be spacious. We weren't kidding. It's spacious. And I get that it's a little bit hard and everything like that, but I just appreciate the spirit that we're embracing it with as a church. The fact of the matter is the 9 a.m. service, we can't fit everybody in, and that's just the fact of the matter. And so the second service is for people that didn't get into the 9 a.m. service or can't fit into that one, and we'll have more people returning to in-person services over the coming months as they remember how good it was. How good it was. The psalmist David said that. I remember how good it was when I used to go to the house of God. And he was lamenting not being able to go. And my prayer is, may the lamenting continue. And people be hungry to come back into the house of God and the presence of God. But you're here. And I want you to be a whole lot more excited than the 9 a.m. service was. I don't know what that crowd was on, but seriously, you guys are like a half of the crowd, a third of the crowd, and yet you're much more passionate than they were. So let's get that reputation out there. I want to talk to you today about the blessing. Oh, don't forget your cupcakes. What a blessing. Don't forget your cupcakes on the way out this morning as you go. And thanks to Pastor Marichal and Daryl for organizing that and cooking that and icing them. And who loves cupcakes? Yes, we do. And it's a challenge for our church at the moment in terms of hospitality, because there's some things you just can't do at the moment, really. And some things, like, you'll notice we're not taking offerings during a church service. Some people are quite happy about that. We're a little bit too happy, actually. We're not physically allowed to take offerings or do communion in terms of handing it out and things like that. So if you do want to give this morning, it's out at the Ask Me desk in the foyer. You can, there's a little container out there, offering envelopes and all that kind of thing. So everything's a little different. And I know that we've got, like, videos playing on the side and everything like that. That's to help us have a seamless experience with the online experience and marry it all together. So please just be patient with us. We're working it out. We're trying to get better and better at what we do. And that's a good deal. We're going to talk about the blessing and the new song that we did again today, which I absolutely love that song. I love the fact that it's scripture. And it's straight from the Bible. And I think our best songs are Bible songs that come straight from the scriptures. And if I was a songwriter, everyone say, if I was a songwriter, I'd just be diving into the Bible and unpacking it like they did with this beautiful song called The Blessing from Elevation Church. And it comes from Numbers chapter 6. And it's a passage that was given to the children of Israel when God was setting everything up about how they would live their life and come to the temple and worship Him. And the instructions were given to the pastors of the day, Aaron and his sons. They were the pastors of the day, the priests of the day. And God told Moses, the leader of Israel, to tell them this. He said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the people when they gather. This is what you're meant to do. This is how you're to run church. You know, I always have people want to tell me how to run church. And they come to church, never ceases to amaze me. I had a gentleman in our last service, first time in church. And first thing he said was trying to tell me how to run church. And God bless you, it's my birthday, go away. Next verse, the Lord bless you and keep you. You know, when you're 58 years of age, you kind of reach a point, don't you? You reach a point where, Merv, you just tell people straight. You know, when I was 28, I just used to smile and take it all in like a big sponge and let people say anything they like to me. But now that I'm 58, you can't. Turn to your neighbour and say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so this is how God said, bless the people. He said, be nice, Tony. Be nice. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Listen to these words. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And then, so I'll put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Do you know what's God's intention for us to live blessed lives? Yeah. That's His intention. And we're blessed just because we belong to the family of God. We're blessed because Jesus Christ is our Savior. But then there's added blessing that we need to learn to walk into. And the psalmist talks to us about this. He says, In Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun, he's also a shield. The Lord bestows, he gives grace and favour and honour, and no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly, from those that do the right things. And verse 12 says, how blessed and how greatly favoured is the man or the woman who trusts in you, believing in you, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation. I have a thought and a theory and a truth that I believe, and it's this, that a lot of blessing is determined by my posture and my positioning. You know, like in a parent's home, as you're growing up as a child, the Bible instructs us as children when we're growing up in our mum and dad's house to honour your mother and your father so that it may go well with you. There's blessing, in other words, when you honour your father and your mother. So you're blessed because you're a part of their home, but you're also blessed because you honour them. You're blessed because you walk uprightly before them. And there's as you honour, there's a favour and a grace and a blessing that flows to every one of us. And it's the same in the family of God. Our blessing flows not just because we're a child of God, but it also flows because of our posture and our positioning towards the Father and particularly his house. So firstly, we're blessed because we're positioned in Christ. What a blessing, an amazing blessing it is to be saved by the cross and the work of Jesus Christ, to know you're in the family of God and to walk in that blessing. But there's another blessing, where we position our heart and our mind and our attitudes and our actions to honour God, to obey God and to follow God wholeheartedly. It affects the way we think. It affects the perceptions we have about this world and life and the way we live. It determines our belief, our behaviour, our lifestyle. That's all part of positioning us for blessing. Let me read Romans 12:2 from the Passion Translation because I like it. It says this, stop imitating. Turn to your neighbour and say, stop it. Stop imitating. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions and the culture around you. In other words, don't be influenced by the influences in our culture. There's a lot of people that want to influence our young people, our new emerging generations, and they're called social influencers. And these are people that have a lot of time, they have a lot of exposure, they have a lot of influence, but they don't necessarily have a lot of wisdom. Just because you're popular doesn't mean you should be followed. Just because you have a social media space, or you can sing, or you look pretty, doesn't mean you're a voice for a generation. In actual fact, seek out some grey nomads. Some 58-year-olds. And beyond. So some mature-aged people that have lived a little bit of life. And don't be swayed by the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be, listen to this, inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. You know, God wants to do a work in every one of us. And it's to inwardly transform who we are and how we think and how we behave and the attitudes that we have. And have a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you, this reformation of the Holy Spirit, it will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to live a beautiful life. You might have to yell it. I want to live a beautiful life. It's like turning to your neighbour really doesn't work anymore. It's like, neighbour, where are they? I want to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in the eyes of God. You know, positioning our heart and our mind and our attitudes and actions requires a reformation about everything we believe. When you come into the kingdom of God, the family of God, there's a culture of God that we need to learn and adapt and adopt. We learn it, we adapt to it, and we adopt it as a part of who we are and how we live. And I want to give a word of caution, particularly to our emerging generation, that don't allow your personal opinions to be elevated above the authority of God's word in your life. It's a good thing to have personal opinions, but they're not a good thing to build the foundation of life on. Jesus said, build the foundation of life on the solid rock of his word, and then build a house and it will stand the test of time. You build it on your own personal opinions, personal truth above biblical truth, and it will flounder, it will flop, it will fall when the tests and the trials of life come. And what I've seen over the last 20 years of church life is, I've seen a divergence away from biblical truth. Let's call it for what it is. It's happened in the last 20 years in the Western church. There's been a divergence away from the truth of God's word to embrace popularity, to embrace the popular, to embrace all-encompassing sort of theories that embrace everybody. And the truth is, God has given us some very stern warnings about coming out and being separate from the world. Coming out and being separate from the world and to have a different life and lifestyle. So let's not forsake biblical truth above personal belief. If your personal belief is opposed to the biblical truth, guess who has to move? Me. I've got to change that area of my life. You know, there's a real truth that in the emerging generation, a lot of them expect God to follow them. But here's news. The song is, and the word is, I will follow him wherever he may go. I don't sing in the first service anymore because it's on camera, but I can in the second. So we follow him. God is not following us. We're not praying, God bless me and follow me. We're praying, God bless me as I follow you. As we follow him, there's blessing and there's favor and there's goodness. That follows our lives. This is what the psalmist called it. He said about this concept, he said in Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth. In other words, I will follow you. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you. See, God knows it's hard for all of us. He knows our hearts get divided. And here the psalmist prays it. He says, give me an undivided heart that I can follow you when I know your word. I can follow you, and I'll praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. So this blessed life, the blessing of God, the favor of God, is found in reflecting God's culture in every way, adjusting our lives and our posture in who we are and how we think and how we behave, and adopting biblical truth above personal belief and personal truth and opinion. You know, the invited life, the blessed life that I'm talking about, it lives uprightly, is what the psalmist says. It lives uprightly. The psalmist goes on to say this in the Message Bible. It says, God, who gets invited to dinner to your place? Wouldn't you like to be invited to God's dinner? Like a dinner at his place. And this is the picture the psalmist says of salvation. Who gets invited to your place for dinner? How do we get on your guest list, your invite list? And then he answers it. He says, well, walk straight, act right, tell the truth. Don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. Despise the despicable, keep your word even when it costs you, make an honest living, never take a bribe. You'll get blacklisted, or you'll never get blacklisted, if you live like this. In other words, there's blessing and there's goodness and there's favor found in living an upright life, in working hard, in being diligent and telling the truth and being kind to your neighbor and good to your friends is all the instruction that the psalmist says. In other words, the blessed life flourishes and is fruitful as we follow God with all of our hearts. Well, we've got an enemy that we've got to deal with. And that enemy is sometimes in our own head, but certainly we've got an enemy of our souls who's got a strategy to get us out of position in the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we think, the way we behave, the way we relate. And all of those things can get us out of position in terms of the blessing. So what is the blessing? What is the blessing? Here's a big thought. The blessing is this. The blessing is the same blessing that was given to Abraham. All the beautiful promises given to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 15 about him being great and having a great name and influence and being prospered by the hand of God. Here's what Paul says. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything that he has belongs to you. In that passage, it's speaking about our father Abraham, and the blessings and promises made to Abraham are now also given to us. We inherit them along with everything that our Father has that's given as an inheritance towards us. God has great and tremendous plans to bless you and to bless your world. But we need to align ourselves with that blessing. We need to align ourselves with living positions. So here's a few positions I want to talk to you about. The first one is called having the position of dominion. In other words, I don't sit back and do nothing in life. I work hard. I'm a hard working person. I just don't sit back and expect everything to be given to me. I work for the dreams and aspirations that I have in life. I'm present and I'm participating in my life. You know, work is not a curse, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Work is not a curse, it's a blessing. Your business, your career, the study that you're doing, it's all worth it. It's part of what God blesses us with to increase our world so that we can live well. We're called to be productive, is what we're called to be, that God would bless the labor of our hands. And so the blessing empowers us to live, Paul says, productive lives. Listen to this, Titus 3. He says, for our people should not have unproductive lives. We should not live unproductively. They must learn to do good by helping others who have urgent needs. So I have a responsibility to be blessed so I can be a blessing.
Yeah.
I have a responsibility to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to other people, so that I can help other people who have urgent needs. So here's the call, particularly in a tough season like we've come through and are coming through. We need to step up mentally and step up emotionally and embrace and greet each day with a spirit of dominion. That I understand I'm called to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. I'm called to work hard, to be diligent, to be creative, and to think about ways that I can grow in blessing, attract the favor of God, so that I can be a blessing to help other people. So I will have a spirit of faith. Say this to yourself today. I will have a spirit of faith and expectancy that God will bless what's in my hand and what I'm doing in this life. So have a posture of dominion. Secondly, have a position of obedience. It's not often this is spoken about in church nowadays. It seemed like when I was growing up, my pastor used to speak about this all the time. And generationally, it was a big theme back then. But a lot of times, people don't like to hear about obedience now. And actually, it polarizes people. It polarizes people. See, that's what truth does. Truth divides.
Yeah.
Truth draws a line. Truth does polarize people. It's part of what truth does. Because truth exposes. It sheds light on something so that it can be corrected. And listen to this. This is what God promised the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28 about this thought. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully his commandments, his word, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. That was a blessing, but it was predetermined by an obedience to the Lord. And it says, and all these blessings shall come, where it talks about being the head, not the tail, being blessed coming in, going out, blessed in the country, the field, the city, wherever you are. It says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, obey me. The first miracle Jesus did, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And they did it, and a great miracle took place. Do you know, miracles take place. And people don't look at it like this, but they do. Miracles take place when we obey God. Miracles take place when we obey God. Obedience. Some people get all caught up about that and all tight over that and, you know, thinking God's the no fun God and assume he doesn't want you to have any fun in life. But God's like the ultimate parent. He does it to guide. He does it to direct. If he says do not, he kind of means it. If he says don't, he kind of means it, because it's for our directive to help us live well, to live a beautiful life and a blessed life. You know, as a parent, as a father, that's what we tried to do. That's what I tried to do with our children. You try to direct, you try to guide. You in a sense, it's control, because you're speaking into their world about how to live a good life. And you do that that's what a responsible parent does. A responsible, you know what an irresponsible parent does? Is just let their children make all the decisions.
Yeah.
Just let their children do the parenting. Children aren't capable of parenting. That's why they're called children and we're called adults. We do the adult work, they do the children work. And we've got to let God do the adult work in growing us and developing us to obey him and to follow him, because that is a pathway to a blessed life where we follow God, we obey God, we walk uprightly, and we receive the blessing and the goodness and the favor of God. My last posture I want to talk about today in position is this, is the position of tithing. The position of tithing and honouring the Lord with our finances. And I know I'm speaking to all the tithers in church today, so this is going to be good. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The tithers love this, the non-tithers don't like this. I don't know why. Malachi 3:10. Bring your full tithe. Everyone say full tithe?
Full tithe.
Not half a tithe, not a quarter of a tithe, not a third of a tithe. It says bring the full tithe to the house of God, the temple treasury, so there'll be ample provisions or food in my house. Test me. Only time in the Bible. Note, only time we're allowed to test God. In other parts of the Bible it says, do not test me. Don't hear the invite. The only invitation to test God. Test me in terms of our honouring of God with our tithes and our offerings. It says, test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. I want those kinds of blessings. I want blessings beyond. Everyone say blessings beyond. Blessings beyond. Blessings beyond. And he says blessings beyond my wildest dreams. God then says for my part to the prophet. For my part. Notice our part. Our part is to bring our full tithe to the house of God. God says my part is I will defend you against marauders and I'll protect you and your wheat fields and your veggie gardens and against plunderers. One version of the Bible says this, I will rebuke the devourer. I don't know when the last time was you rebuked somebody, but when you rebuke somebody, you don't often talk to them in a pleasant tone. It's like, I have a nice voice. I have a friendly voice. I have my father's voice. I have my grandfather's voice. I have the I ticked voice. I have a voice I use when I'm chasing my neighbor's dog off my property because it's chasing my chickens around the yard. That voice is a stern voice. That voice is a voice of get out of my yard. That voice is leave my chickens alone. I don't care you got your own chickens you play with in your yard, you don't play with my chickens. That voice I want my neighbor to hear. So the neighbor keeps the dog in their yard. So it's kind of like rebuking. You may think I'm nasty. I've had the dogs eat my chickens. My chickens are my pets, even though I'm scared of them. So to protect my chickens, when I see that dog come, I don't speak to the dog nicely. Come on, you do this. You know this. I'm not telling you nothing you don't know. I don't lay out food and water for the dog. I don't pat the dog. I'm not wanting his tail to wag. I want the tail between the legs. I want his ears down. I want him going home. And so it's, get out of here! Go on! Get home! I'm not talking to the dog like I'm a pastor in church. Because I want that dog scared. I don't want that dog coming back. That dog's not having chicken tonight. For me, it's a picture of what God does when he says, I'll rebuke the devourer. You know, we've all got a devourer that works in our lives when we don't honor God. It's just the truth. People don't understand that. Like, people think, tithe. You mean tithe? Literally give God 10% of my income. Here's the deal. You're giving it anyway. You're giving it anyway. You're giving it somewhere. It's going somewhere. It's being devoured. That's the principle of God's word. It's being devoured. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse is what the prophet says. And God says, I'll pour out my blessing. And I want God rebuking the devourer in my life. I want to hear God going, go on, get out of here. Get home, you mangy dog. Yeah, keep your dog in your own yard. Leave my chickens alone. Come on, rebuke the devourer. God says, for my part, I will rebuke the devourer. Here's the truth about tithing. You can live a whole lot better on 90% that's blessed than 100% that's not. True. You can live a whole lot better on 90% that's blessed than 100% that's not, because God rebukes the devourer. When we don't tithe, we rob God. People don't like that. It's true. We rob God. What do we rob God of? We rob God of the opportunity to bless us. That's what we rob him of. We rob him of the opportunity to bless us and bring that blessing into our lives. So the position of tithing brings blessing on our lives. Can I speak straight to you for a moment? As a pastor, as a father, as a grandfather, as a 58-year-old. I feel good about being 58. I just feel like your authority goes up. I can't wait to be 60. Can't wait to be 65 and 70 and 80. And still preaching. I just feel like there's something that comes with maturity. Let me speak to you very maturely for a moment. People say to me sometimes, why do you have your MCs talk every week about giving for a few minutes from a scripture? Why do you do that in church? I mean, we got it. We get it. We come every week. You know, the truth is, we don't have it. We don't get it. We haven't got it. That's the truth. That's the truth. Let me give you a little statistic so you know how this works in our Western world and in our church. Let's just talk our church. Let me give you a statistic that's going to make you fall off your seat. 50% of people in our church do not contribute 1 cent to the ministry of what we do as a church or to the Lord in this house. That's 50%. Everyone go, wow. Wow. Thank God you're not one of them. Because it'd be very uncomfortable right now. But that's just the truth. That's a statistic. And that proves to me that we haven't got it, we don't get it, and we need to be constantly reminded of it. Constantly reminded of it. To go on a journey with God, to honour Him. To honour Him. I was really fortunate. I grew up in a family where my mum and dad taught that, and they modelled that, and they did that. From when I was 12 years of age, I started to tithe and honour God. I've got to tell you, it was pretty hard back then. When I first started earning money, and I earned $2.50 a week packing onions and potatoes at a part-time job at a grocery store. $2.50. Worked 10 hours a week, earned $2.50. Used to bring 25 cents to church. 25 cents. Preacher was living big off me. Tell you. New big fancy car he's driving. 25 cents in the plate. I had to teach and train my spirit, my heart, and my mind to honour God. And so, because it happened all those years ago, it's not a concern to me. It's never a concern to me. My tithe is considerably higher than 25 cents today. And my testimony is this: God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I think we need to learn a little bit about obedience in this area too. And it's not that you don't get blessed if you don't give. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there is an extension to your blessing in honouring God in this area. And there's also the fact that it's part of our responsibility. Proverbs 3 talks about honouring the Lord as a principle with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. And it says that when you do that, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, I don't have barns that I need full of food. I don't have vats at home that I keep wine in that measures my wealth. But what I do have is I have bills to pay. I have people to look after. I have family to look after. I have other people that I also want to bless and honour also and live life well. And so my first choice is to honour God. That's what the tithe is. You know, the tithe is, and this is where people hiccup with when it comes to the position of tithing. They fail to put God first. And when you fail to put God first with tithing, and you try and put it second or third after you've done everything else, what you find is there's nothing left to give to God. But if you give to God first, you work it out. You work it out and you live on that is what you do. And so there's a very, very straightforward explanation from the Happy Birthday Pastor about the posture of tithing that'll bring great blessing into our lives. God's favour into our lives. We'll be greatly blessed. Where God says, I will literally open up heaven for you. I will literally open up heaven for you. I hear people pray that. God, give us an open heaven. And God's answer to that is, I've already told you how that'll happen. Honour me and I will open up the windows of heaven for you. And you know, the truth is, as you seek a posture and a position of dominion, as you seek a posture and a position of obedience, and as you seek a posture and a position of tithing over your life, the blessing doesn't come straight away. It comes slowly, it comes steadily, and it comes surely. Slowly, steadily, and surely. Because I know I'm preaching right now to some... Why don't you stand, do you think? Close your eyes if you would. I know I'm speaking right now to some people in this room that have been doing those things for years and years. Years and years. And some in this room, you've been tithing longer than me. Longer. And I want you to know, God has not seen what you've done. He's not seen what you've done. He sees what you've done. He knows the promise that He's made to you. And that blessing is yours. That blessing is yours. So here's the blessing. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord smile upon you. May He give you His peace. May He turn His face towards you. May His favor and grace rest upon you. May you be blessed because you walk uprightly. May you be blessed because you do the right thing. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly and do the right thing. May you be blessed for the spirit of dominion you've had throughout your life. May you be blessed today because of your obedience, even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, that you obeyed God. May you be blessed today because you love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You honor Him financially, you tithe, you give to Him, and may you see increased blessing in your life. Father, that's my prayer today for all my friends and my family, for our church today, is that we would learn to follow you. Our request is not that you follow us. Our request is, God, that as we follow you, as we have an undivided heart towards you, as we know your way, as we build on that foundation, that we will be confident of your blessing, we'll be confident of your rebuking of the devourer that's involved around our world and in our lives, that has come to steal, kill and destroy, and God, you'll hound him out of our lives. You'll chase him out of our paddock, of our property, and everything that concerns us today in Jesus' name. May your blessing be upon your people is my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to close our service today and sing this beautiful anthem, The Blessing. Why don't you lift your voice and sing it to heaven today? Thank you.